Friends, as Bruce has said earlier, it's only been a couple of days since we had church together on Wednesday. And I thought, man, I can't just leave it there. I just feel Christmas comes so quickly and it goes by so quickly. And I'm not surprised if our dear friends at Coles have already started selling hot cross buns. Oh my word. What is happening to our society? But you know what? That has got nothing to do with our salvation. It's got nothing to do with our salvation. They've discovered that people will buy anything. So, let them be. I was being facetious this last couple of days, and I was just, we were doing some day trips, and as I was driving, I was thinking, there's this wall on the, just as you go out of the church, if you look up, you'll see there's this big empty wall there that needs something on it. And I was just thinking to put on there, please help me to be better. Just that. Please help me to be better. Do you think that will be catchy? Please help me to be better. Friends, as I've been reflecting on this year, I was just thinking, I would not be here if it had not been for Jesus. That sounds very spiritual, right? But I would not have been here if it had not been for you. If it had not been for each one of you, for the love that you guys have shown us, me personally, over the last couple of months, over the last years. And it's been amazing. I said to a friend, oh man, this year has been, he said, but this friend knows what I've gone through. And he said, but how can you say that? It's been a dark time. I said, it's been amazing still. Because the amazing part about it is, I'm here now. I'm here now. When you're going through that dark patches, you know what? You don't see the out. You don't see the light that you see. It's the next train that's going to be whacking you. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that feels like that. But you know what? God chose me. God chose you and me. The Bible reading for this morning is Matthew chapter, what was it, Bruce? Matthew chapter 2? 2 from verse 1 to verse 12. And on Wednesday I spoke about the three wise men. No, not the three wise men, the shepherds. And how God had chosen them. And what wrapping is it is. Is the wrapping for you? Is the wrapping for me? But today I want to speak about the wise men. Andrew, could you just put that up there for me again? And our friends, I just want us to take away from here with the preaching over the last week or 2 weeks is that God will choose whom God will choose. No matter who you are. If God chooses you, He chooses you. You didn't ask to be chosen, have you? You've asked for forgiveness. Yes, we have. But God knew you even before you were born. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Now, after Jesus was born, it's not on the day. Now, science and people, and I'm sure you've heard this many, many a times, that it's believed that these wise men did not come over Christmas. They came months after his birth, according to science. But let science be what science is. We believe what we believe. We're celebrating it now. They came a couple of days after the birth. We normally do. Ryan, just a couple of days after your birth, who pitched up there with mom and dad? I did. It wasn't on the day when Noah was born. A couple of days later, we gave God the glory. Hallelujah. And so, friends, it is. Let's forget about the semantics of time. Let's look at the thing that happened. They came. Why? Because they were chosen to come. They were chosen by God. So was the shepherds. They were laying in the field there. They were chosen. They didn't say, choose me. No. They were chosen. You are chosen. You are divinely chosen by God. Then it goes further to say, in the days of Herod, the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, they were asking, where is he? Where is he? What do you think they did? They went to the place that they thought would be the right place to go. When people think the church is the right place to be, what do? They come there. Hallelujah. This morning I was busy outside for a while. As you know, I'll be reporting on that every week now because it takes me forever and I love it. So I was busy outside here and a lady came past. As I was going down to the beach, she was coming up, and as I was busy sweeping outside, she came back and she said to me, man, it is so good to see that the church is open. I need a place that I can go to anytime. People need to come here because they know what happens here is prayer. They also know the power. Those guys went there because they thought, where would a king be born? Come on. Where would a king be born? Hallelujah. A king, the expectation is for the king to be born in a palace. If you are sick, where do you go to? To the hospital. If you're not well, man, you don't go to the to Mercedes-Benz or to, no, you go to the doctor. These guys were not wrong. They were not wrong. They did what their mind, their upbringing, their culture, all those things taught them to do, to go to that place where they expected it to be. Now, friends, I want us to listen very carefully this morning, because the message for today is not for today. The message of today is for the next couple of years. The message of today is, don't always think this is the right thing to do. It might be the right thing to do for us because this is what we were taught in school, in uni, everywhere. But sometimes we've got to follow our heart. Don't just let it happen here. What did I say was the sickness of here in Australia on Wednesday? What did I say? What was the biggest sickness we have? Overthinking. Now I want to go one step further. When it comes to the things of God, man, let our thinking go. Just let our faith be put to the test here. Where is he was born? Anyhow, they got there. The king heard about this. Wow. For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. They had all the right intentions. They came with the right, they did not have anything in their mind but to do what they were told to do, and that is to come and worship him. To come and worship him. How many of us came this morning to come and worship him and him alone? How many of us came? Because it's the right thing to do. It's Sunday morning, the first Sunday after Christmas, the right thing to do. Man, and you know what? Were you excited in coming? Only three of us? Praise God. I was so excited. I was out early. I put my clothes ready. And it's exciting to know that this is the right thing to do. But let's go further. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. Now, this is English, right? He was troubled. Man, let's just take it one step further. He was angry. Because his position was threatened. I tell you today, my friends, the devil is angry because his position is threatened. Brother Pete, the fact that you are a praying man of God threatens the devil's position. Wouldn't it be? Now I just want to play a little bit of devil's advocate. Sister Birgit, can I use you? I know you, just be yourself, okay? Just be. Now imagine you were the devil. Oh yeah. What would you do if all these kids here around you are starting to change now? And they're becoming nice. Oh, you just get angry. Oh. I was expecting more. You would get angry. would come from your eyes, spit would fly. That's how you get angry. I mean, Ryan and Rebecca knew when you were angry. You call them on their Christian names. Hallelujah. Come on now. That devil was angry. That king was angry. And that is how it's supposed to be. When your mom gets angry, man, the world knows. My granny used to get so angry. I tell you, our neighbors knew that she was angry. I remember one time my mom got so angry, my friends ran away. And I was left because I had nowhere to run. My granny got so angry, I've still got the scar. Yeah. But also you got to remember, there's always two sides to a story. You're just hearing my side, that I was a good child. It seems like you don't believe me. I was not a good child. And come I tell you, when the king heard this, he was not taking it easy. He was not saying, what can I do? Remember, friends, those people that we think we can trust, those people that we think that is nice, that we've got to go to, they're not always there for you. They're not always there to for the right reasons. They're there for themselves. That king had plans. He thought, okay, there's people that's wiser than us. We might not all have the appropriate words to say. We might not always have the appropriate charisma. Oh, I wanted to use this word so long. The appropriate charisma to express to other folk, you know. And this king, he had all the right things. He said to these guys, but the one thing that he forgot that these men of God had. Because remember, what did I start off with? We are chosen, right? So because you are chosen, there is something special in you. Hallelujah. Now this guy didn't know it. This king did not know that this child of God has got something special. What do you think that is? Come on, Bruce. What do you think that is? Jamaica brother, what do you think that is? Tell me, what do you think that is? Say it like you mean it. Come on, Tony. Holy Spirit. Favor. Power. But there's one more word that we all have. Come on. Salvation, yes, yes. Christ in you. Now with Christ in you, what do you have? The spirit of discernment. Hallelujah. That king had all the charisma, but he did not have discernment. He did not have the Holy Spirit. He was not an anointed man of God, a woman of God. So, can you see where I'm going with this? He did not have that. But he used all the right words. So, this guy said, oh, yeah, yeah. Like a wise man always did. Just go back to verse 1 there quickly, please, Andrew. Now, after Jesus was born, Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, behold, who came? Wise men. Back to verse 3, my brother. Thank you. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. He had all the stuff he had, but these men were wise. They did not make a lot of noise. They kept quiet. They said, yes, our king, we will do as your wish is our command. They were wise because they had God in them. They had a spirit of discernment. Woo! I'm getting excited here. And then another thing happened there. The Bible teaches us He was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. If the king is troubled, automatically. Remember, friends, the king is the one that we've chosen the king, right? So the king is up there and everyone with us because we've chosen. Nobody's going to come and say, king, you are wrong. Anybody want to take a chance? King, you are wrong. Who's the queen? Queen Elizabeth, you are wrong. Would you take the chance to do that? Why? Oh, man, we know history teaches us. History teaches us that that's not the right thing to do. You might not live to tell the tale. Hallelujah. So the people kept quiet. And because the king was upset, everybody with him was upset. And that's what you'll find in politics, in work circumstances, when there's a leader, when there's a leader, and even if the leader is wrong, and this leader is a hard leader, even if he's wrong, people don't disagree with him. Because he's brought us through the war. He's brought us through trouble. He's brought us through famine. And this is the right thing to do, is to support him right now. I know he's wrong, but I can't say it. But you know what? Let's just hope and pray he comes to his senses. If a thing is wrong, it's wrong. The king was wrong. We all know that, don't we? But the people agreed with him. And yet in their hearts, when they went home, do you think that they were happy and okay with it? I don't think so. Not everybody. Maybe there was a lot that said, man, is the king, so we just agree with him. No. We might agree with him because he's the king. But you know, when we go home, we pray before God and we say, Lord, this is wrong. Hallelujah. Now we go a bit further. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophets. 6. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers. But you, Bethlehem, but you, Brighton Baptist, but you, child of God, are not the least of them. When people look at you, what is it that they see? When they looked at Bethlehem, what is it that they thought? Can anything good come from here? Friends, it is important for you to go back and go and look what Bethlehem was about. It is important for you to go know why the Word of God would say such a thing. I'm telling you today, God has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives, no matter what people see. I make a joke with my wife, and please don't tell her. I told you that I make a joke with her. I tell her a lot of jokes. But I say to her, what people say about you is not the truth. Can you hear? Did you hear that? What people say about you, I don't believe it. What do you think the natural response is? What do people say? Who said it? Because she knows me, she just, to the keeper. Friends, no matter what people said about Bethlehem, God has a plan. God had a plan. And sometimes everybody can't see that plan. Even the wise men that was with the king couldn't see that plan. Because God's plan is perfect. Come on now. Are not the least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Friends, did you know that this portion of scripture has so much information? That out of you, God is raising up men and women to go out here and rule and tell the world about the salvation. And tell the world about the good news of God. Pastor, sorry, not me today. Not me. Please, not me. Friends, I want to say to you today, you might not like it, but God has got a plan and a purpose for you. People might see you as just Brother Peter, just Uncle Jeff, whatever, but God has got a plan and a purpose, even for you, my sister, my brother, even in your old age. God has got a plan. I was so blessed, Sister Mary, when you said God has got a plan for you in North Carolina. What is God's plan with you? I think I shared with the church a while ago that my grandfather accepted the Lord a couple of months before he died. I was very upset. I was upset because his whole life was, amen, he made people's lives miserable. But you know what? Years later, I had to surrender that because at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. There's place for more. So my grandfather accepted the Lord 3 or 4 months before he died, and he started ministering. He started going to hospital. He wasn't even supposed to be at the hospital. He went to hospital to go and preach. He went back to his old stomping grounds, and he went to the hotel. They took him on this collar and threw him out of the hotel because he went there to go and preach. He felt God had taken him out. But you remember this. No one is too bad to become good. And no one is too good to become bad either. The Lord has got a plan and a purpose. You might only discover your plan and your purpose towards the end of your life. You might discover your plan and your purpose right in the beginning of your life. What is your plan and purpose? People might look at you and say, man, where are you from? No, I'm from Noble Park. Woo, out of Noble Park. What good can come from Noble Park? Where God is, where you are, there God is. And when God said it, it is so. No matter where you come from, it's not where you come from, but where you're going. Hallelujah. And I'm almost done. Who will shepherd my people Israel? That anointing is spoken over your life, child of God. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. Verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring him back. Bring back word to me, that I might come and worship him. Now, I just want to stop there for a second. Not all worship is godly worship. Not all worship is godly worship. We're sitting in church today, we're worshiping the King of Kings. In Acts chapter 17, we read about men and women of God that has all these gods that they worship. And here on the end is a thing, and the prophet comes and he says to them, so who's this? Is they say to the unknown God. Is it 17, Andrew? Acts chapter 17? To the unknown God. Many of us have got all these worship, these gods in our life. And here is somewhere that we come to on a Sunday morning. To the unknown God. Friends, God, we serve a jealous God. He will destroy all the other gods in your life. I've got to tell you this morning, because there's going to become a time in our life, even in the church's life, that we've got to make a decision, and it's not going to be based on those that we believe is the kings in our lives. It's going to be based on what God has wrought in your life. It's going to be based on a decision that you make today for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And remember, we can stand and worship him here. We can lift up holy hands as we would sing the words. But there's nothing happens in our heart. When we go out of this door, we're just the same. Nothing has changed. These men had, what did we say, Bruce? What did they have in them? They, besides the Holy Spirit, they had the spirit of discernment in them. They knew what this king was up to. Child of God, you can feel it when something is not right in your house, in your family. You can feel it. Hallelujah. Ask God to revive that spirit of discernment in you. So if a thing is not right, you just look at your child and you say, talk to me. If she doesn't understand you or he doesn't hear you again, you say, talk to me. You understand? Because the spirit of discernment is you need to get it out of them so that we can deal with it. That worship is worshiping false gods. It wasn't the real God he wanted to worship. He wanted to make an end to this God. He wanted to make an end to this king. Verse 9 to the end there, Andrew, please. And when he had heard, they departed, and behold, the star led them, right? In the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw that the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. What did that mean to them? They were following the star. Week after week, day after day, my brother Bruce said it earlier, every morning when you get up, you open the Word of God, you're following the star, you're following the star, you're following the star. But there's days in your life that you think, because remember we said that this didn't happen over a couple of hours. These guys were traveling for months. For months. How many days in your life, how many years in your life have you followed this God? And you know what? You're just going and going, and there's nothing that you can't see something. You can't feel it. I'm just being a child of God, but I can't feel that I'm a child of God. I'm just going on and on and on, and there doesn't seem to be any end to this being a child of God. What is this? Follow the star, because God said for you to follow. You're being a child of God today because God said so. You get up in the morning, you know it's not a, but you know what? You trust God for today. Those guys trusted God every day, and they continue to follow. Continue to follow. No matter how difficult life becomes, continue to follow. Stay faithful. And the end, Brother Andrew, and I just want to, verse 12 says there, where is verse 12? Oh yeah. Then being divinely warned in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed for their own country another way. The Holy Spirit speaks to us every day. Every day. It depends on how you are tuned in. How you are tuned in. We were blessed the other day to be driving in a new car, and I had to set the radio. Now, I'm not very good with technology. I'm a bit, as they would say, special. You know, I don't want to use a very, but I tried to use the old-fashioned way to tune in, and it doesn't work anymore. You just press a button, and it finds itself, and whoop, up comes all the radio stations there. And I'm thinking, how did this thing know? Come, I tell you, your spirit is tuned in. It just needs you to press that button. It just needs you to say a few words like, God, help me. And come, I tell you, things changed. Before long, I'm sitting in front of the screen there, and I'm thinking, wow, Smooth FM. That's the one I want. That one morning when you get up, you just say, Lord, I depend on you totally and utterly. I surrender all. Come, I tell you, that's your joy. That's your joy. There's scripture in the Bible that I normally use at funeral services. And I say, what is the nice ones I say? About sadness remaining for the night. No, what is the scripture? Is it tears? Is it weeping? Oh, weeping remain for the night. But joy comes in the morning. For many of us, we've lived our lives 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. We've lived our lives, but we have not received that joy yet. But we've been following the star, Pastor. What happens, my friend? That morning when you say, Lord, I surrender all. That's the morning your joy will come. That's the morning when you do not depend on your brother. You do not depend on your wife. You do not depend on your brother, your sister. You do not depend on anyone else but him. Then your joy will come. Come, I tell you. Those guys, they were disturbed in their spirit. How can we go back to a liar? How can we go back? They had to depend. They had to go into the inner room and say, Lord, help us. We do not know what to do. And the Bible says, then being divinely warned. Church, we are divinely warned. There's going to be a time and a day in our lives that we need to make some serious decisions. Follow your heart. When God says so, it is so. When God says that king is not always right, believe him because he is God. Not the king, because God is God. There's going to come a time in your personal life when you've got to say, even though it seems right, it just seems right to take word back to the king, right? To say, king, a new king is born and here he is. But he wasn't born in the palace. He was born in a stable. Oh, and he's mine. And I've got a hand over my, no ways, man. I'm going to take him out and not for lunch. Oh, yeah? Friend, our lives are like that. I need you to know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He that has begun a good work within you shall perform it until the very end. What work is that? That work that, you know what, when you get up in the morning, you can say, hello, good morning. I was hoping to get a gift over Christmas because they were advertising it so well on television, the gift of Google. That I could also say, Google, play my playlist for today. I want to do just that one. That Google can play that nice soft music. That I could get up and do this. I'm sure my wife will be excited when I get up and I'm already dancing, you know. But I want to say to you, that is what God does every morning. When you get up, you can ask God, show me my playlist for today. And God plays you. What does my diary look for today? God gives it to you. That is what those guys got. And you know what the Bible says? They worshipped him in spirit and in truth. When we come to the house of God, let us come and empty ourselves here. So that when we worship him in spirit and in truth. May the Lord bless you as you go back home and continue to seek after what God says. Not what man says, what God says. And trust that greater is he that is in you. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning that we can believe what your word says. Lord, your word is yea.